grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it. Drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Bat Pod.
Welcome to the Bat Pod, Episode 2. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me tonight, Joey Galvez.
Hey, how's it going, Bill?
Good. It's going real good. I can't wait to talk some Batman comics here.
Yeah, it sounds like a whole lot of fun, Bill. I'm ready for it.
The Bat Pod is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. We can be found on nerdylegion.com along with some other great podcasts. Go check them out on nerdylegion.com. And we have some great stuff going on tonight. We're going to talk a little Batman number 55. We got Batman Damned number 1. We have a little Stump the Co-host. We got Detective Comics number 988. We got a character spotlight, and we have a good feature for you here. Our topic of the week is going to be great. We'll have a special guest for the topic of the week, and I think you're really going to enjoy that one. Okay, let's get to the books.
The Bat Pod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
Our first book, Batman number 55. Your writer is Tom King. Your pencils is Tony Daniel. Your ink is Tony Daniel and Danny Mickey. Colors are Tamu Morey. Letters are Clayton Cowles. Your variant cover is by Francisco Matina. Associate editor, Brittany Holzer. And your editor is Jamie S. Rich. So in this issue, Batman and Nightwing spend a night patrolling and discussing Dick's puns. If Batman ever called Nightwing chum and fight some living dead in the Phantom Pharaoh, they decide to have a contest, non-contest, about who can free fall the longest without a rope, but is interrupted by the bat signal, ending with Dick being shot by the KG Beast. What an issue.
Oh man, this is a big one.
This is an issue. Right. I mean, did you see this coming?
Not at all. But the thing is, once I started this book, I was wondering, why are we having more of this relationship type thing? You know, because the last book we saw that they were kind of reminiscing and talking about cucumber sandwiches, and there was that little father-son kind of relationship going on. And you see that continued here a little bit. You know, they're joking around, they're having fun, and he's making fun of Batman because Batman doesn't speak. He just kind of grunts and things of that nature. But then once I got through this book and I read it over and over again, I was like, holy smokes, man. That's why they were doing it. And I liked it. I liked the way that progression was. It got me caught up in their little relationship. And then once that happened, I almost fell out of my seat.
Coming from my side, I knew something was going to happen to Dick because I had seen solicitations. So I knew this was the issue. Dick was going to get injured. That's all you really knew is Dick was going to get injured. I didn't know how he was going to get injured or what exactly, because I didn't read that far into it. But the way it happened, it was pretty shocking.
Yeah,
because he looks dead.
Yeah, he does. And the way the bullet almost looks like it enters into his skull, looks like he's done for. But you know,
or he got grazed. You know,
yeah, you never know in comic books. But you know, you were actually you told me to read this one because I hadn't read it yet, and you were like, "Have you read 55 yet?" And I said, "No." You said, "Stop what you're doing right now and read it." Seriously, I don't like looking at the solicits because a lot of the times they kind of spoil things, and even though that this is a spoiler show on books that are this huge, I don't like to look at the spoiler type things. I want to be surprised as if I'm reading it for the first time, and boy was I surprised when I read this one.
Well, I have to say, I have a bad habit. I do read the solicits. I can't help myself. I get annoyed when I get spoiled. Like, there is no reason for DC to basically spoil this ahead of time.
Yeah.
It would have had much more impact with me if I did know this was happening.
Right.
But still, it was pretty shocking. And getting back to what you were saying about, you know, they're establishing, again, their relationship. Mm-hmm. But basically, to me, the point that I see is, you know, Dick is trying to get Batman out of this funk. He's still in this funk. He's still a little grumpy, grumpier than usual.
Right.
But you get to see, you know, you get the callbacks to Batman 66.
Right. There's a whole lot of those.
You know, Chum. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that joke was pretty funny.
He called him Chum how many times an episode in Batman 66?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of callbacks to the Batman 66. And actually, some of these books, I we'll talk about it later, but there's a handful of callbacks to our favorite shows and movies and things of that nature. But I liked it. I liked this book all in all. It was pretty cool. I had to read it quite a few times to get that this was actually KG Beast, because they don't really, you know, spell it out for you. It was kind of a cool thing. I can't remember or anything, but I don't know. Maybe you can remember. But does KG Beast have a connection to Bane?
I don't know if he, not that I know that he ever had a connection to Bane.
Yeah.
But he does now. And I've been thinking about this a little bit since this particular issue. Bane is trying to break Batman down mentally.
Right,
you know,
right.
Taking the love of his life away from him.
And now taking his son.
With the breakup. You know, making him doubt himself with this Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking Mr. Freeze was guilty of these murders. He set this up that made Batman think that Mr. Freeze did these murders. He hired the KG Beast to shoot Nightwing. I don't know if the intention was to kill Nightwing or not, but he's trying to break him down mentally. And this story is, the pieces are starting to fit together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a slow burn of a story.
Mm-hmm.
This whole Bane, you know, is trying to break him down mentally. But I'm loving it. I'm starting to really connect all the pieces, and I'm really enjoying this part.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it myself. I was really excited when I saw this. I'm excited to see what the next one comes at us.
Now, getting back to KG Beast.
Okay.
There wasn't super huge clues it was him.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never read about him or read once and you just couldn't remember anything about him. But DC already had spoiled in a solicit that it was a KG Beast. So right. I already knew ahead of time the KG Beast was going to show up in this issue. So to me, I already knew. It wasn't anything to figure about. It had been kind of cool to, you know, try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And the clues were right there, you know, with the fake arm and everything.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't really spell it out for you. They didn't say his name. There was no way, you know, that you had to. There was a mystery to it, and I kind of liked it. I liked it.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, this is the big question, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with Batman. What do you think about Dick? Because the result of this injury, Dick is going to lose his memory in his own book and forget that he was Nightwing.
Yeah, that's
what do you think about that story?
You know what? There you go, you know, with the solicits again, because I heard around the grapevine that they show Nightwing with his head shaved on one of the solicits, and that's kind of what they say, you know, that he's going to lose his memory, and he's not really going to know that he's Nightwing. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm sure that it's going to work out into something that I'm going to like. You know, it is one of those stories where, you know, it's an amnesiac story or whatever you want to call it. But, dude, he got shot. He's not going to reel back from this. You know, I don't know if you've known anybody that has been shot before, but you're not the same after you come back from something like this. You can come back, but you're never going to be the same.
Yeah, I would imagine not. But this is comic book, so he'll eventually come back. He'll be 100%.
As if nothing ever happened.
So another one of the cool scenes in this book that Tom King tends to do.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember if he did a whole lot or not, but when the KG Beast is sitting, you know, drinking coffee,
yeah,
and you hear all the other conversations that are happening in the coffee shop.
Yeah, that was actually kind of cool, and I liked that page.
And, you know, there was one comment in particular. I'll recite it here. It says, "You ever danced with the light?"
Yeah, I did see that.
Does that trigger anything for you?
Yeah, from the Batman 89 movie. Yeah, I saw that. And now that you bring it up to me, guys, I'm looking at the page now. That is, when I saw that, I said, that's awesome. That was pretty cool. There is a whole lot of callbacks to these, you know, these awesome movies and shows, and it's pretty. I kind of liked it. There's some people who are out there probably won't appreciate it like as much as you and I will. You know, because we talked about it on our last show that was our favorite movie. And I got to tell you, and you're a huge Batman 66 fan. How did you feel about all these references?
Oh, I like it. I mean, it can be overdone sometimes,
right?
But here and there, I like it. You know, talking about, hey, you used to call me chum. And he's like, I never called you chum. Yeah, you used to call me chum all the time. He's like those conversations. And it shows development of, you know, their personal history, their connection.
Right. And he says, then I remember that chum is also a word for a bunch of smelly fish. You were just making fun of me. He says, well, you never washed your uniform. I loved that. Like,
yeah,
Batman.
That was great.
Batman, at this entire time, he's trying to get something out of Batman. He's trying to get him to laugh or chuckle or doing something here. And then that's about Batman being funny.
And how about their little contest, non-contest, you know?
Right.
Who can free fall, and as Dick's fallen, you know, he has his hand behind his neck, and
yeah,
you know, he's an acrobat, so he's used to free falling.
Yeah.
In general, I'm sure Batman is too, but
I love that page, you know, how awesome it is. Like, he Dick's just falling head first. It's an awesome page. You see all the dimensions there. It's raining. See all the most of the cities lit up, and it's a really cool page. I like it a lot.
Yes. Tony Daniel, what can you say?
I love Tony Daniel as an artist. Dude, he's awesome.
Seriously. I hate to say this is a perfect issue of something because that doesn't really happen.
Right.
But I tell you, the art in this book is so close to perfect.
It's
not funny,
on point.
In my
yeah.
opinion.
Yeah, I like it a whole lot. I've always loved his art.
And you know, when Dick gets shot in that scene with the art, you know, his head is sort of out of focus.
Yeah.
That is so cool how they can do that and draw pages like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that page. But I gotta yeah. talk about, you know, the build up to right before he gets shot. How they're talking there with Gordon, and you know, he's and even Gordon's reminiscing with them. He's like, hey, this feels somewhat familiar. And they're talking about, you know, this case right at the moment where you don't even expect it. The most opportune moment, the moment you least expect it, he gets shot. And yeah, like you said, this page is probably one of the best pages I've seen in quite a while.
Yeah, I would have to say. Yeah, definitely. It's awesome.
Yeah. I want to say, though, you know, how do you feel about Phantom Pharaoh there?
That was basically a joke.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, he could be something more, but
so
it seems.
I was wondering about him. When I saw this, I was like, I've never seen this guy before. Is it just that I've not read enough Batman books? So I looked him up.
I haven't looked it up to see if he had appeared before.
So this is
Batman says he thinks he's new.
Uh-huh.
So
this is actually his first appearance. He's completely brand new. He was created by Tony Daniel and Tom King, and it was because they couldn't use King Tut. For some reason, I don't know, you know, King Tut is established in this universe, but I'm not sure why they couldn't use it. For some reason, there was some rights problems.
Is he established in this universe? Is King Tut established?
I don't know if he's established in Rebirth, but he's a DC villain. I know that much for sure.
It's like from Batman 66, correct?
I didn't do my homework on King Tut. That's my fault.
Okay. If anybody knows that answer, please let us know.
Yeah.
Because we'd love to know.
Yeah, because I'm sorry I didn't go that far into my homework here. But and I'm actually wondering, are they going to use him again in some, is he a big part of this storyline? Or is he just kind of one of those throwaway characters they created him, just throw him away?
That's my opinion. I think he's a throwaway character, but it's hard to say. Okay, let's head on to our next segment.
This is the Bat Pod.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Joey here at the Bat Pod, and I'm here to tell you guys about our new website. It is thebatpod.weebly.com. We've got some pretty cool stuff on there. We have an area where you can check out the Bat Blog, where we review some really cool comic books. There's also an area where you'll be linked to our show, and you will also be linked to thenerdylegion.com. There's also a really cool bio page there where you learn a little bit of a background about myself and Bill Beer and how we got into comic books. There's also a section where you can get a hold of us. If you have any really cool Batman trivia, send it to us. Or if you want us to read your email on the show, you can check us out there. Again, that website is thebatpod.weebly.com.
Welcome to Topic of the Week, and this topic this week is, should Batman kill? And we have a special guest, non-guest tonight, and if you ever listened to the Batpod previously, you're going to know this voice. You have to know this voice, and tonight we have Nate Campbell, a.k.a. Batman Jones, with us.
Hey, Bill. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has. So we got an interesting topic to talk about tonight. Should Batman kill? You up first, Nate.
Should Batman kill? That is an interesting topic. It almost makes me think, what would make you think of such a question? And then you got to think about, you know, Batman v Superman and all the latest and greatest stuff they've been doing with Batman. So when you ask that question, do you mean cinematically or?
Well, I mean, in general, like, in comic books, right? Is it realistic to think that he wouldn't kill, like, the Joker, for instance?
Right. Well, we got to remember that when he started off, he didn't have a problem killing too much back in the earlier comics. That was not, you know, something that was foreign to the staple of the character. Over time, you got almost 100 years of stuff going out, and it seems like, as of now, his no-killing rule is something that separates him from the other superheroes that are out there. So it's something that's very, very fundamental and important to the character.
It's his code.
It's his code. However, we have seen him break that code, such as the Killing Joke. That's debatable. You got Elseworld stuff like All-Star Batman and Robin, where he's setting people on fire. So it's like, and then you got the issues like Tim Burton's Batman, where like he kills a Joker, but that's inadvertently when he ties him up to the, you know, Joker's trying to get away on the helicopter and he ties his leg up and then he ends up falling off. I'm sure he didn't intend for that to be the result. He probably intended for the Joker to lose his grip and just hang dangling by his foot, but the opposite happened. So again, we've seen him kill time and time again in recent accounts. But as far as the fundamental essence of the character and what he's trying to accomplish, I mean, what makes Batman different from Rorschach, for example, is that he doesn't kill.
Joey, what do you think?
So, you know, I'm on the other side of things. We have seen Batman kill here and there. You know, there was one point where he supposedly killed Darkseid, but Darkseid didn't really die. Can you really count him killing him there? But he did intend to do it. So we have seen Batman do it in the past. But if the whole question is, should he do it? You know, he's already walking that thin gray line or whatever you want to call it. I think, you know, if he's going to be sticking to his code and if there's just that one thing, if it's going to separate him from them, my answer is no, he should not kill because, you know, he's trying to be something a little bit higher. He's trying to put himself on a higher pedestal, you know, to keep him from going over that edge. I think that's just that one thing that he, you know, he's already walking that thin line. I don't think he should step over it.
Real quick, the Darkseid issue, which is just super great that you brought that up. In that instance, you're looking at, and just for listeners that, you know, aren't too into the comics or whatever, or they just follow Marvel or whatever, like, you're looking at the Thanos situation with the MCU where, you know, it's a universe-shattering consequence. Like, basically, Darkseid took over half of everybody, and the very few people that are left are trying to stop him. So in that instance where you're fighting a being that powerful, you know, even though it's comic lore, it's like, he had to set out, and he didn't only kill him, but he killed him with a gun, which that's like a doubly bad thing in Batman's mythos.
Right.
He doesn't use guns and he doesn't kill. So, but it's like, I guess if you write him into a certain wall or corner or the stakes are high enough, then at some point he has to pull the trigger, but fundamentally he shouldn't go around killing, you know, regular standard joke criminals and things of that nature.
So here's what I have to add. The Joker, you know, killed Jason Todd, Robin. Is it realistically to think that he would never just take care of the Joker. I tell you, if I was him, the Joker would be dead and gone long time ago. Long time ago. Seriously. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, if he breaks his code once, then I guess the code's gone.
Right. There is no code.
No, there is no code. So I guess in that aspect that maybe he shouldn't kill. It would break the character, basically, the way that we know him. But then if you look at Batman versus Superman and Batman with guns in that movie, that suited, didn't it?
Yeah, we're not going to look at that.
Thank you, Zack Snyder, for all your hard work. I don't know what to say. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the fact that he can kill the Joker and doesn't is what makes his code honorable. Right. That's where his honor and his big guy staple comes. That's what puts him at the top of the list. You see, it's not just like he can't kill. I mean, the Punisher kills, Captain America kills. I mean, there are other superheroes out there that do that. But what makes him Batman is the fact that he could, if he crossed that line, even in a situation like when Jason Todd is murdered or, you know, Batgirl is paralyzed. You know, you have all these horrible, horrific things happen, but he still has the goal and the strength to follow his code and not cross that line. And that's what makes him Batman. It's not about his money. Not about his, you know, his fighting skills. It's about his honor and him being the peak of human perfection and an example for us all. And wow, I'm really getting myself back into Batman with this speech. But at the end of the day, you know, what puts Batman at the top category, top tier of superheroes is the fact that his code makes him so honorable. It's his dedication. And that's the same thing that gave him his quote unquote superpowers, his strength, his will. His unbreakable will, his detective prowess, all of that wrapped in one. So.
I'm glad that you say the word honor. If you are you have any kind of knowledge of any kind of like martial arts, or if you've heard anybody who teaches it, the one thing that they say all the time is you got to have honor. This thing that you hold up to, this gold standard, if you will. You need to know that you are strong enough to hurt somebody. You can throw a full powered punch, but stop an inch before you hurt that person. And that is sure honor and will, and to know that you can stop yourself at any moment. And I think that that's where we come in and to play with Batman here. You know, that he has knowledge, that he knows he can do this. He knows he can kill, let's say, like a Joker or Darkseid. But because he has honor, he can stop himself an inch before he does.
I actually totally agree with you. I think like the staple of the martial artist is the fact that you train. If you're into martial arts, they teach you that you train self-defense so that you don't have to use it. You don't go around beating people up. But if the fight does come to you, you can bring it back to them. Right. And that's the whole point of, like you said, that gold standard. And I think Batman is pretty much, you know, the gold standard of superheroes. I know Superman's like on the pedestal because he's the first one, but Batman really is something special in his own right.
Right. Oh, definitely, definitely. And well put. The one thing may not necessarily has to do with what talking about, but I was just doing a little research to see when Batman used the gun in comics. And one of the stories that popped up, and I don't know if you guys read this or ever read it, but it was Batman Year 2.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that story? There's a picture of him on the cover, and he has a gun holster on his side. And in that story, he's the villain of that story is the Reaper. And he actually, the story is kind of a little odd because he actually takes the gun that killed his parents. So the gun that Joe Chill used to kill his parents, he takes this gun. And it's a pretty interesting story if you ever get a chance to read it. But
they removed that from canon. So
But it's just one.
But I'm aware of Year 2. I just never read it.
But it's kind of interesting. And then there was a story we were talking about last week or the week before about Batman the Cult, where he used a gun with rubber bullets, which I guess that's not sort of the same thing.
Well, here's the thing. And with like my ultimate epic Batman story is not that he doesn't kill out of his moral compass. It's that he learns not to kill because he creates the Joker. And what it like, I always had a thought of writing a story where Batman basically, you know, Year One, he's tearing up the city. He's basically Batman v Superman, Batman on steroids. He's killing everyone. He's doing whatever. And again, this falls along the mythos. I really enjoyed All-Star Batman and Robin. So I like Batman going overboard. But when he gets to the Joker and he decides to kill him by throwing him into a vat of acid and it actually creates a Joker as a result, he now has to deal with the fact that I can't do this anymore because look at what I created by my non-killing recklessness. So then he becomes the more calmer detective, you know, the wiser Batman that we all know and love. So for me, I really think if they did something like that where it explained, like, hey, prior to, like, this is how he got the mythos and how, you know, superheroes who are basically deities like the Flash and Superman and Wonder Woman are like afraid of his legend. You know, this is how he builds up that reputation. So again, I always had a fantasy of creating some story like that. But yeah, if anyone's a writer out there and wants to take that and do something cool with it, you need to go ahead and do that.
I think it's obvious that he wouldn't be Batman if he decided to kill and he didn't have a code anymore. He would be a different character.
He'd be Rorschach, or he'd be what was the Batman that took over when Bane broke his back?
Azrael.
He'd be Azrael. He'd be Punisher. Any of those other superheroes. But he's definitely like not Batman if he's crossing the line.
Yeah, whatever. It's an interesting topic to discuss.
I agree. I have to agree.
If you weren't with us last week, our topic was what's your favorite Batman movie? And ours was actually the same thing. I'm just curious to see what yours is, Nate. We both went with Batman 89 as our favorite.
Oh, wow. No. Oh, no. You got to give me the Dark Knight. And it's not just the Heath Ledger thing, man. Like, really, like, after watching it time and time again, and going and reading some of the source material like Long Halloween, I just really think that the Dark Knight is the ultimate staple on you know, they really captured the essence of what Batman is in that movie, even though they didn't get the fighting down like they did in the Batman v Superman or the craziness like the 89. Just the
it
the
is
whole,
a good movie
story
and we
whole,
didn't the, it was up near the top
so good.
It is. I that one was my second.
Yeah, no definitely, and I give you 89 as my second. I flip-flop on that for a number of years, but right now where I'm at, it's Dark Knight is definitely my favorite Batman.
Cool.
However, I will say that the best film to capture the essence of Batman is the Lego Batman movie. when you watch that movie, that is Batman. That's the Batman. Oh, like those guys put love into that film, and they know what's going on with the character. I mean, come on, man. Like, I couldn't believe that Lego Batman got this down so
good.
When
did this show start to go downhill?
When Batman v Superman was just crapping on the whole idea of what that.
Man, hey, my 8-year-old would definitely agree with you.
Yeah, no. Hey, you got to give, like, if you look at Brave and the Bold and the old, you know, 60s Batman stuff, the Lego Batman movie is not, like, they really captured not only the essence of Batman and, you know, it's a joke and it's humorous, but it's a good joke and it's like we're all in on it. And yeah, I think the Lego Batman movie really captured something that no other Batman movie did. Seriously.
So would that be your favorite animated version of Batman as well?
I'd have to chew on that for a while, because, you know, I haven't went back and watched Master of the Phantasm again, and that just changed my life as a kid. So, you know, when we get to animated versions, I mean, hey, you know, the animated series Batman is just—he's just there all the way. So,
right, that's my favorite too. I grew up racing home just to catch an episode.
Yeah, me too. See, I'm older than you think. I'm not 8, but but nah, the animated series really—I mean, that got me into comic books before I even knew I was into superheroes and stuff. That and I think the old X-Men cartoon—that was pretty.
Yeah, me too. I'm there with you. I'm such a huge Batman and X-Men fan that I've named my son Remy Grayson.
Oh, wow. That's doubly awesome. My mind is blown. That's crazy. As an update, my buddy Diego, Bill, who we had on the show a couple years ago, his son, he ended up naming his son Bruce. So.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know if we were going to have a boy at one point, it was going to be, the name was going to be Logan.
Huh.
See, that one's awesome.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think my next one, my next kid, I think I'm going to name him Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
Like, that's his first name is going to be Old Man.
Okay. Getting back to this.
No, was that a lame joke? My bad.
Okay. Getting back to you know, should Batman kill? If anybody out there has an opinion on this, feel free to send us an email, tweet us. We'd be really interested to know what your opinion is about that.
All right. We appreciate you guys tuning in to our topic of the week. For Bill Bear, I am Joey Galvez, and we appreciate Nate coming in. Nate Campbell, the old school co-host of the Bat Pod, coming in and having that discussion with us. Next, we're going to have a couple of promos from two different podcasts that both Bill and I listen to. Hopefully you guys will enjoy this and check them out. Here it goes.
What a beautiful summer day. Bob, it's Wednesday, hump day. There's so much to do. A new exhibit at the gallery. Let's go to the park and have a picnic. I got a better idea. Let's head over to the bar and catch a show and stir up some trouble.
Now, Barbara, we can't do that. It's Wednesday.
Wednesday. Oh, no. That means...
New comic book day. It's time for the gal to walk into a comic shop.
My Wednesdays might be shot, but that just means that come Tuesday, you guys get to listen to a new episode of A Gal Walks Into a Comic Shop, a comic book podcast where each week I do something I never thought I'd do, read comic books.
It's about sharing passion.
Introducing new readers to the world of comics.
Playing crazy quizzes.
Singing songs.
And giving reviews and commentary on the latest releases.
Join us every Tuesday on A Gal Walks Into a Comic Shop. Search for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your pods. You know you want to.
How can they resist?
I wish I could have.
Hello, I'm Pat Sampson. And I would like to invite you to join me on my podcast, The Long Box Crusade. On this podcast, I'm reading through my 20-plus long boxes that I have stored away in my basement. On each episode, I will select a random issue from my collection and take a very highbrow, thoughtful approach to examining these truly American art forms that help to shape our popular culture.
Oh, I like comics too. Can I get a comic out of my long box that syncs up with the month and year of the comic from your long box and chat about that too? Oh, and video games. Can we talk about games? Or maybe James Bond too. I love James Bond.
Fine. Jared Elbrick, a.k.a. the Yard Sale Artist. We can add some of your comics and enthusiasm to the show. It might help get a deeper introspection of...
Did someone say James Bond? I love James Bond, and I love comics too. I can bring a comic from my long box to sync up with you guys. I also love movies and music, even news stories that tie into the time period that match the comic books we review.
This is what I get for inviting both the Albrecht brothers into my show. Jason, how the heck can we fit all that into my deeply intellectual review of... Well, you know what? Fine. Let's do it. Let's cram it all into one podcast. Join us on the Long Box Crusade, folks. We'll bounce around in time from issue to issue, pulled randomly from my long boxes, and the Albrecht brothers will bring along issues with the same month and year cover date. We'll talk about the comics and the time period they come from, including...
World news of that time.
Top 40 music chart toppers.
Movies, both good and bad. Maybe even some favorite recipes.
Whatever I think is funny.
We'll probably have to suffer through things that Jared thinks are funny.
We'll jam it all into one pop culture extravaganza, examining the comics in my long box and the time period surrounding them. Join us for a wild ride through time on the Long Box Crusade podcast as we attempt to read them all.
What's in your long box?
All right, so Batman Damned, book one. This one was actually a really good one. It excited me when I first heard about it, but let me give you the rundown of the creative team really quick. We've got Brian Azzarello as the writer, Lee Bermejo, one of Bill's favorites, right, Bill, on the art?
Oh, yes. This was fantastic.
Well, besides all the news heard around the world about a certain Playboy's privates, this was not another 50 Shades of Grey. Bill, how many shades of gray do you think Batman uses in his uniform anyway?
That I would not know.
So, anyway, well, in this book, the Joker is supposedly dead, but the problem is Batman can't remember if he'd done it. So we are visited by Enchantress throughout. And anytime that, you know, we got Enchantress there, you know that there's some kind of dark mystical involvement. So who better to help Batman? John Constantine. But he's not very much help. So we get a little bit of Zatanna in here, and she's just playing some three-card Monty, and Deadman joins us. And I kind of thought that he just joined the party just to possess people and make them throw up all over Batman as he's in disguise as a homeless guy. And, you know, this book was strong all around and great art, and it was just an awesome storyline. I liked it, but I'm still wondering if Joker's dead or not.
That would be my biggest question, too. Is Joker really dead? Because you see the Joker on, like, TV, and they uncover his face, which... Mm-hmm. It's kind of odd because they don't usually show that on any television I've ever seen. They don't usually show the dead body.
At least not in the States.
This is the first Black Label book.
Yeah.
Which DC announced several months ago, you know, is like the new Elseworlds is supposed to be more adult.
Yeah.
You get into the adult, that's why they have, and apparently the print copies have the little, you know, extra piece in there that wasn't in the digital copies, because it wasn't in my copy.
Oh.
You know, Batman and his nakedness.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was in the copy that I got. It was there. And then when I went to go take a look at over at Comixology, it was gone. So it was pretty.
Yeah, I don't
know if I appreciated that. What?
Yeah, I don't know the reason to make it a more adult. I don't know. It didn't do anything for me personally.
I hope not. You know, I was talking about this to my wife, and I was telling her, you know, they're putting out this more adult type book, and she looked at me with this funny look. She's like, what do you mean by adult? And I was like, no, it doesn't mean that. And I was like, well, they do show you know, Bruce Wayne's privates in this. And she's like, how, you know, you're reading porn? And I was like, right? But this is like stuff like this. I don't know if it's a publicity stunt or if it's just, you know, there's gonna be some negative connotation, you know, surrounding this thing. And that's what everybody's talking about, you know? Everybody's talking about...
Well, that's what they did.
Right.
They wanted to get somebody talking about this book.
Right.
Negative or not, positive, whatever. Whatever you thought about this, this is what they wanted to get talking about,
right.
I guess.
But did this book really need something like that? I think this book was already awesome. You don't think you needed something like that to get everybody to talk about it?
No, probably not. I mean, looking at this book, looking at the artwork, it is totally awesome.
Oh, man.
You wouldn't even need words.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I love how the letterer, you know, he took away the word bubbles in a lot of this stuff, and it was actually kind of cool. I liked that. That was a little different. You know, they're going different with this, and it's not your typical kind of comic. You know, and I like it. I love the artwork altogether. I love the whole feel that we get from Batman. Like, you know, that moment where they're saying, "Oh, he's like an animal. He's dangerous. He's when he's wounded and he's desperate and he's just running and mowing people down because he's hurt and he's trying to get away."
Yeah, it was very different. It was very dark. But the biggest thing of this book that I really loved is seeing some of these DC magical characters. Mm-hmm. You don't see them in a Batman book.
Yeah, this is...
You know, Zatanna's in here, Deadman, John Constantine.
Three members of the Justice League Dark.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty awesome. And Deadman, his appearance was kind of, you know, he was jumping in another... He even jumps into a dog.
What did you think he was going to do? What did you think the dog was, like, going to speak?
Yeah, that I don't know.
I don't know. But I do like how we see, you know, Batman's a little vulnerable here. You know, he's hurt. He's bleeding. He's calling out to Alfred. He needs help. He's running away from people so he doesn't, you know, at one point you had these paramedics trying to cut off his mask and he just started going crazy. And I love this whole feel. He falls off a bridge.
And is Alfred even around? I got the feeling that I don't know if Alfred's around or not.
You think
so? You
know,
he was calling for Alfred, but Alfred didn't answer.
Oh,
so
I didn't pick up
it wouldn't
on that.
Surprise me if Alfred was totally gone.
I did not
Maybe
pick up on that.
Maybe he passed away or something.
Wow. and he's just doing it because he's going nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he's having all these flashbacks, you know, and the other big thing was, you know, Bruce is with his father, with like his father's mistress.
Yeah, that was, I don't know how I felt about that. You know, because he always, in the books that I know, the Batman that I know, the Bruce that I know, he always had his dad up on a pedestal. You never seen him like this. But this, I guess, I don't know if you want to use the word humanized, but this definitely, it's a different take on Thomas Wayne.
That's for sure. Right. I didn't expect to see that coming.
At all.
And this is a mystery. I know this is a book that's coming out every 2 months, and I think it's 3 issues.
Yeah.
But do you know where the story is headed? You know, you have the guy that's apparently witnessed the crime, and he sees Batman, and he starts running. So we don't really know what's up with this guy. But then at the end, we see this guy is hanging in a church crucified.
Oh, yeah. Was that the guy?
Yeah, that was the guy. That's what I got out of it.
I didn't catch that. But this book is dark, dude. That part where you see Enchantress kind of peeking out from behind those trees, dude, it creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah, she was creepy. And I didn't know who it was right away, and then I thought about it a little bit. I've seen her from somewhere, just not at that age. Very creepy.
You know, it does give you that feel of, like, is he, like, hallucinating? Is he seeing all this stuff? Or did he get whammied by something? Or is there some kind of dark force at work here?
That's it. That's what I think is going on here. There's some dark force. This is, like, a horror, very mystical, horror type of story. And I think there are going to be unknown forces at work here. Because there's mystical forces, you know, with John Constantine. I mean, he basically healed Batman from the wounds he was having. He was probably going to die with the way he was looked like he was bleeding out when he was in that ambulance.
Yeah. And you see, you know, I didn't catch it till now that I'm looking at it. You got Dead Man back there. Almost looks like he's coming out of you know, possession from John Constantine. I don't know if you caught that.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he's there when right after Batman realizes that he's healed from these wounds, and that makes me wonder: did Dead Man possess John Constantine and he healed him, and then now you see him kind of. Because there's different facial expressions there, and one looks like he's very serious, and it's the same kind of facial expression that we see when Dead Man enters into the bodies of these people on the street, and then you can see there's a change there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't notice that till now. That was actually kind of cool.
The other thing is that looks like John Constantine is narrating this book.
Yeah, that was a cool little...
Which is kind of interesting. I didn't catch that at first, but then...
Me neither.
You know, it's kind of interesting. The art, I tell you, the art did it for this book. I mean, you just could look at these pages for weeks.
Oh, yeah. I found myself looking at these pages a lot, you know. I skipped the Bat Privates. I'm kind of glad that they took it away. I'm just saying, I don't think they needed that to make this book adult. Yeah, and that, like I was saying earlier, I was talking to my wife about this. And I was telling her, you know, if they want this to be geared towards the adults and not like kids or whatever, but, you know, they don't have to have blood and nudity and cursing in a book to make it adult. You know, you can have adult, you know, content, but no nudity, no horrible things of that nature. I think, you know... I think that's if I was going to have any kind of negative about this book, I think that would be my negative thing about it is that I don't think you need that in to make something, you know, geared towards adults.
No, it was the pure violence can be aimed towards the adult. And I think there was some language in there, but yeah, I didn't see a reason for, you know, showing that particular part of Batman. Yeah, that's nothing that I need to see, so.
Yeah, this is a different relationship between his father and Bruce, you know?
Yeah.
Gives you, this book, if anything, this book has dimensions, many different dimensions.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I just wish, you know, the story, I wish that you didn't have to wait 2 months to get the next part,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be, what, 6 months for this whole story. It's only in 3 issues. I know it's like a super big issue, but it felt like a regular issue because the way it progressed.
Yeah.
It didn't like it so much that you felt like, oh, I had all these pages and I got all this content. It felt like an issue a regular normal issue was just spread out in this extra large issue.
I didn't feel like I got any answers. You know, I know it is just the first one. And I didn't know that this was just going to be like a three-book arc. And I almost wish that they gave me a little bit more. There is some pretty cool imagery, though. There's some cool imagery. There's an area where, you know, Batman's walking into that tunnel there, and there's fog or whatever. And the fog almost looks like there's a face. So there's all kinds of mystical things
going on.
Yeah,
I noticed that. That's wild.
Yeah. And then there's and there's that inappropriate page. But, you know, I love how, you know, he's almost like you see a vulnerable Bruce Wayne, a vulnerable Batman here. You know, he's hallucinating. He sees that his suit is you know, he's not in his suit and it's reaching out for him. And he just falls right to his knees and screams no. It's like this is way cool. I want to know what's going on and what happened. I want to know who did this, who killed the Joker. I want to know what's going on with Bruce.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it. I think, you know, I'm excited about it. I just don't know if I can wait 2 months for the next issue, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Okay, we'll head into our next segment.
Welcome to the Batpod Stump Your Co-Host segment. Listen while Bill tries to stump his co-host. Can he do it? Let's wait and find out.
Welcome to Stump the Co-Host. And for everybody that was with us for episode number one, we had our first Stump the Co-Host, and Joey lost his Batman card. Here's an opportunity for you to earn that Batman card back. And, of course, there's cash and prizes, as always.
All right, I'm ready.
As always. So are you ready for your first question?
I'm ready, whatever you are.
One is a question that's pretty easy. All right. And the second one is a follow-up to a question that we had next week.
You said that the first time around, though. You said the first question... last week was a real easy one. That was hard on me, man. I got my card taken away.
That was easy. These are cupcake questions this week.
All right.
Really. Okay. The first question is, in what issue does Bane break Batman's back? And this is multiple choice.
All right.
A, Batman number 497. B, Detective Comics 664. Or C, Batman 600.
Ooh, which one was it? What was the first one again?
A, Batman 497. B, Detective Comics 664. C, Batman 600.
I want to say A.
Batman 497? Are you sure about that?
I'm not sure. But I'm gonna guess A.
Okay, A, Batman 497 is correct.
Oh, yes, awesome.
It's actually Nightfall Part 11. And if you read Nightfall, you know that's the issue where Batman gets his back broken by Bane.
Awesome.
Wow. I'm impressed. I thought for sure you were going to go off the rails there again. I would have had to shred that Batman card even smaller than it already is.
Oh, man, it's laminated, so.
Well, that's not a problem. I got a pretty tough shred over here. The Bat Shredder can shred anything. So, this next question is a follow-up to a question we had last week. Who is the main villain from Batman the Cult? A, Hugo Strange. B, the Reaper. C, Victor Zsasz. Or D, Deacon Joseph Blackfire.
Ooh, that's a hard one. I want to say either B or D.
So which is it?
I'm going to say D.
If you said D, you were correct.
Oh, awesome.
Wow. 2 for 2. So I guess I have to give you your Batman card back.
I also might got it back.
You win.
Got it back. I'm pretty shocked here. But would you like to hear what you've won?
I would.
Yes. So the next time you visit Gotham City, you've won a personal tour of Arkham Asylum. And with that personal tour comes a free psych evaluation and an overnight stay.
Oh.
So how excited are you about this?
Pretty excited. That sounds like
actually
something.
I would take the personal tour, but I don't know how excited I would be about the overnight stay with the psych evaluation, because
I may not,
you might just
may not ever
yeah
come out.
You might just be moved yeah you might be moved in and, you know, you're just there and nobody ever sees you again.
Right. I don't think I'm pretty scared of that psych eval.
Very cool, very cool. So Joey gets his Batman card back.
Awesome.
I didn't expect it. I know you people out there didn't expect it, but you never know. We'll have to go a little harder next time.
Uh-oh. That means I'm going to be doing some Batman homework.
Yeah, let's get started. Get started on your Batman homework. Right. You want to keep that Batman card.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Okay, our next book is Detective Comics 988. Your writer is James Robinson. Your artist is Steven Segovia. Colors, Ivan Placentia. Letters, Rob Lay. Variant color, Mark Brooks. Assistant editor, Dave Wagos. And editor, Chris Conroy. Your group editor is Jamie S. Rich. And in this issue, Batman investigates the murder of Harold Frank, where two different guns were used. He actually runs into two different Fireflies, and we discover the terror organization Cobra is operating in Gotham City. So right off the bat, we see in this book, we see the thing that I love, which is continuity. And we see the effects of, you know, you haven't been seeing it in Detective Comics, but you see the effects of things that's been happening in Batman come over in Detective Comics. If you were reading Detective Comics and you didn't see this, you saw this exchange with, you know, Commissioner Gordon and Batman, you would think maybe it's a little odd, but It makes sense to me. It really does. You see the effects of him, you know, his depression, of him being hurt by Catwoman.
Right.
And he kind of snaps at Jim Gordon. You don't see that happen. He doesn't snap at Jim Gordon.
Yeah, there's one point where he's like, I don't need your permission.
Yeah, and you also see he hasn't been communicating with Alfred at all.
Yeah.
When Batman contacts him, he says, I was going to send carrier pigeons for communication. So I guess Batman's been quiet.
Yeah, just to get you to write me something, he says. Yeah, I love this book because we see Batman, you know, I mean, some people may disagree, but he's going back to his roots here. He's being a detective. He's detecting some stuff. He's going in, and he even says, you know, bottom line, this is a mystery, and I'm a detective. So I love that because there's a moment here where Gordon's like, you know, I thought this was a little bit beneath you. Frankly, if I don't think I need you here. He's like, well, I don't need your permission. You know, I'm a detective. I'm gonna do what I need, what I do.
Right. And the big thing, they thought this was just a mugging. There wasn't anything going on here. But Batman, he noticed that the victim was actually shot with two different guns.
Right. Before anybody even
noticed.
And,
you know, the police didn't pick that up. So, but he picked it up and he kind of runs with it. Very interesting. I mean, this is how, you know, some of the issues previously back in, I say the old days, but 90s and different things, you'd give a mystery. And it wasn't necessarily a villain that you knew or anything, but he pieces it together and goes here and goes there trying to put the clues together. And we have a mystery here.
Right.
Really, it's kind of, I mean, he goes to Harold's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he finds a secret room, so there was much more from this guy than you thought.
Right, right.
You know, he has maps, looks like secret plans. He looks like he might be an assassin.
Something's going on. There's something deeper there. Because he's got some kind of mundane job, and he's like, there's nothing really on this guy. And there's something deeper there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see familiar villains show up, which is Firefly. Well, you have Lady Firefly and then Male Firefly, but their costumes look a little bit different than what I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
Firefly, you know, Firefly always has those goggle-like eyes.
Yeah.
This was more like an Iron Man type costume. type suit.
Right.
But it's interesting that
and they reference the, you know, they reference Garfield Linz, the first Firefly. Because this guy is Ted Carson.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I love that James Robinson, you know, did enough research to know
right.
exactly who these characters was mm-hmm. to go back. And because this is not a character that's used a lot. A lot of times he's like in pieces of story yeah. or in the background right. of a story. But that was kind of neat to see. I like throwbacks to that sort of thing.
And it gave this character a little bit more depth. Enough to where... You know, when they referenced that, I kind of like did my homework a little bit. I said, you know, who I want to find out what this is, because I was right there with you. I was like, this is some kind of one of those characters that you don't really see too much. It's a lot of people use him as a throwaway character. So I kind of looked it up, and our first iteration of Firefly was introduced as Garfield Linz. And he was a down and out film special effects guy, and he attempts to rob a theater. And fakes a fire, and there was a moment where Batman chases him out. Batman gets distracted by a firefly, and that's how he gets his name, and he gets away. We see Ted Carson here in the Rebirth. He was on the Riddler's team in the War of Jokes and Riddles, so we see him there. And do you know who this Lady Firefly is? And her name is Bridget Pike. Do you know where she comes from?
I don't know where she comes from now.
So if you are a fan of the Gotham TV show.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and she's not in the comic books. She's in the TV show. And they brought that into this comic book. And they've actually kind of been doing that here and there lately. Like they've been bringing in characters from TV shows and stuff like that into the comics. I think they did that with Felicity Smoke and John Diggle, I think they did as well.
Yeah.
So you see that, and that's from Arrow. So, you know, you've been seeing stuff like that here and there. So I thought that was kind of cool that they did that. I was actually pretty excited to see that they brought her in here, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, I did want to say, you know, if we can backtrack to a couple pages here, did you see anything in that cave page there when he was in the cage right before he goes to...
Oh, yes. I wanted to mention that. The Bat Cave.
Yeah. Did you see those Batmobiles?
Yeah, I love seeing different artists' renditions of the Bat Cave and different things like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the writer tells the artist, hey, put this in the Bat Cave. This is the kind of things right. I want to see. Or the artist comes up, you know, on his own with that kind of things. Right. But, you know, it's cool.
So we saw in Batman 55, they're referencing movies, right, as well. In this one, they're doing the same thing yeah. with this art, you know. Is that your favorite Batmobile over there from Batman Forever? We got the Batman 89.
I don't know if that's my favorite Batmobile, but, you know, you got the Dark Knight Batmobile.
Yep, Batman Begins, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's another one over there, it looks like, from the newer movie from Batman v Superman. You know, they're kind of throwing those in there a little bit. So that's kind of cool. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. And the one thing that shows up in this book, Cobra,
oh, yeah.
which is basically a terrorist organization for the DC universe. Mm-hmm. He's only basically in one page.
Yeah.
But I tell you what.
But it's a big one.
It's a one panel, basically. It takes up more than half the page. And he's like, Cobra will rise anew. And, you know, you have these snakes. And I tell you what, I hate snakes.
Me too.
And he has a cobra wrapped around his head. And then there's another snake wrapped around the two dead bodies mm-hmm. are, like, pinned to a wall. You don't know who they are or exactly what's going on. But I tell you what, I'm looking forward to this next issue.
Yeah. Because, you know, Cobra was one of the main villains that the Outsiders were always dealing with. Did you know that?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, in the original?
I think so. And that's what makes me wonder if they're bringing it in here and he's going to be a bigger thing with Batman and the Outsiders book.
Could be. I mean, it could be just a story that James Robinson is doing.
Yeah. Could be.
Because he's not doing Batman and the Outsiders. I mean, it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see where this goes. I'm
yeah.
really excited about these storylines we got going on now in Batman and Detective.
Yeah, they're getting a whole lot better now, I think.
The fighting in here is awesome. You know, you have Batman shoots with the grappling mm-hmm. gun around the one Firefly, and her momentum sends her, you know, over the balcony, and kind of neat.
Yeah.
Kind of neat. I really enjoyed this.
This was a really good issue. I like the art.
The art was pretty good, too. I'm not familiar with the artist, but I did enjoy that. Okay. We will... head to the character spotlight.
Character Spotlight.
All right, for this week's Character Spotlight, we're going to be talking about KG Beast. His name is Anatoly Niazev, and his first appearance is in Batman number 417. It came out in March 1988, and it was titled 10 Nights of the Beast. And he was created...
Oh, yes.
Have you read that one?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I actually, when I was doing this, I actually downloaded it and started reading it myself.
Oh, yes. This was one of the ones that I loved. It was great. It was great.
He was created by Jim Starlin and Jim Paro. And in 10 Nights of the Beast, he essentially gets his arm chopped off by Batman after Batman kind of wraps his bat rope around his arm or his hand, chops it off to get away with it from him. And that's how, you know, his prosthetic arm cannon was born. He also appears later on when Batman kind of buries him alive underground in Batman Year 3. He contacted the GCPD to pick him up. So he didn't die. He didn't kill him. So that's one of those moments. Maybe we should have talked about that.
Because it does appear at first that he left him to die.
Yeah, but he didn't. He went back.
But then they kind of changed the story later on. Said, yeah, he did alert the police that he was there.
Maybe because people were asking, hey, did he kill him? Did he kill him? So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then after that, we see him again in Detective Comics 817, where he was thrown from a building and people thought it was Two-Face, but he didn't. He was actually exonerated and he was found innocent. It was actually the Tallyman hired by the Great White Shark. In Blackest Night, he shows up again as a reanimated person because there was...
It was the Blackest Night and their core of, you know, black rings.
Yeah.
They could reanimate dead bodies. So
that's where we see him. He gets a black ring.
Yeah, you saw a lot of dead characters resurrected. Even heroes were resurrected.
Yeah, and this was kind of cool because he creates a construct of his prosthetic arm cannon.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Finally, in DC Rebirth, KG Beast is no longer known as KG Beast. He's known as just the Beast. And he's described as one of the world's best contract killers. And he also had his own private island at one point where he used it to capture his enemies and engaging them into like kind of like a hunt for death. And it kind of goes along with that, he kind of has done that quite a few times, you know, hunting people to the death kind of a thing.
And that was in that first few issues of All-Star Batman,
uh-huh.
which was a pretty good arc. Did you ever read that?
I think I've got it in my long box. I don't think I've been able to read it all the way through yet.
It was kind of interesting. The biggest thing that's probably known for is they changed sort of how Two-Face is, which I didn't love because Two-Face, in that particular instance, there were two sides of his personality and one was dominant.
Oh, really?
And there might be another time that the other side of his personality is dominant.
I do remember that. I do remember reading that. Yeah. I think I read up to number 3.
Okay. Yeah, it was interesting.
And to talk about All-Star Batman, in All-Star Batman number 4, he was, you know, the Beast was seen when Batman spears him over a cliff. And Batman was saved by Duke Thomas, but they don't really know what happened to KG Beast here. So I don't know if Batman's got a thing for leaving him for dead, but that's kind of an ongoing thing that's going on here with him. So
it was probably a throwback to the original or something like that.
Possibly.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with this character in the Batman series, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he came in to kill Dick Grayson. I would be interested to see if that's always being used for or whatnot, and see where that story goes. It'll be interesting.
The Anatoly Niazev character has also been seen in some animated features, such as Justice League Unlimited and in the episode Kid Stuff. He's getting around. We've also seen him in live action. Did you see him in Batman v Superman?
I don't remember him.
Yeah, he was that main henchman guy, the one that was...
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Uh-huh.
Right, the main henchman, he was mopping the floor there for a little bit when they grabbed up Lois Lane. When I first saw that, I was like, dude, that's KG Beast. That's hilarious. So, and then we also see him, or the Anatoly character, in the series Arrow. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Have you been watching that?
I've watched it at the beginning. I haven't seen like the last two seasons.
So I'm caught up all the way, and I thought it was it's actually pretty good. This last season, Anatoly was in there quite a bit, actually. He's, you know, on again, off again ally to Oliver Queen, and he's actually a part of the Bratva, which is a Russian mafia syndicate, and he's a former KGB agent. Yeah, we also see him. He appears briefly in Assault on Arkham in the animated movie there, where he essentially gets his head blown off by a man Amanda Waller.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, last but not least, we see him here in Batman number 55, where he took the shot heard all around the comic book world that struck Nightwing Dick Grayson in the head. That is KG Beast, Anatoly Niazev.
Awesome. I'm glad you knew how to pronounce his name.
it's kind of a hard one. I think him being in live action movies and TV series kind of helped me remember how to say his name.
Oh, that's cool. So maybe we'll go ahead and wrap up the show here. Just to mention again, we are a part of the Nerdy Legion podcasting network. You can go to nerdylegion.com and see all the great podcasts over there. And the Bat Pod is over there, plus many more great podcasts. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we are on Twitter. We're at PodBat. I am GothamKnight13.
And I've got a new handle on Twitter. It is JoeyGalvez84.
And we are on Facebook. We're facebook.com/thebatpod. We have an email. Please send us an email. Give us some feedback here. If there's a topic of the week you'd like us to talk about or anything thereas, we'd welcome the feedback. It is batpodpodcast@gmail.com. We are on iTunes. If you'd like to give us an iTunes review, we'd really appreciate it. We're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, and of course,
take a look at the website. It is thebatpod.weebly.com.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it, man. We've talked about some pretty good books. I think my favorite one of the week here has to do with Batman Damned. I think that one was awesome. The artwork was so great. I know Batman 55, you know, Nightwing got shot, and that's the big, big news, right? But I really like the artwork and the storyline in Batman Damned.
Yeah, I enjoyed all three. Probably Batman Dan the least, but still enjoyed all three. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.
See you later. We'll be right back.